Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a great blessing that we may be here to worship our triune God. A hearty welcome to all our brothers and sisters and to all those who have joined us via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel message direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements, and attestation has been requested by Brother Dion Ten Hag for the Free Reformed Church of Busselton. We wish our brother the Lord's blessing as he moves to his new congregation. The congregation is hereby reminded that the ordination of elders and deacons will take place, the Lord willing, next week Sunday during the morning service. This afternoon we may welcome to the pulpit Reverend W. Huizinger, Emeritus Minister from the Free Reformed Church of Armidale. Before we commence, let us sing together hymn 29, verse 1.
And let us rise to receive God's greeting. We confess our help is in the name of the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to God's greeting, let us sing together Psalm 34, stanza 1. And afterwards, let us remain standing and we will sing our profession of faith with the words of Hymn 1.
Oh,
Let us humble ourselves in prayer before God's throne. Thank you, Lord, for this good, beautiful Sunday, a day of rest and worship. We pray, may our worship glorify you, and may it also refresh us, we ask. Lord, we see around us in the changing seasons that you rule and guide all things. The hills were green, fresh, luxuriously green, but now with the hotter weather, we know things will change. The jacaranda trees stand in purple blossom, and the Christmas trees begin to blossom. Lord, there's always colorfulness in your creation. But we know that summer will hit, and the heat will also take its toll on creation. And in spite of the temperatures, you keep creation going. It does not give up. In the hot summer temperatures, we ask ourselves, what can survive with these poor soils and these high temperatures? But Lord, it amazes us that you always keep creation going. It reminds us that you have said in your word that creation is a witness to us, that our light sufferings here on earth are not worth comparing to the weight of eternal glory awaiting us. Yes, the Australian landscape is resilient. It bounces back after bushfires, after years of drought. And it is amazing. And we see your hand in that. And it teaches us that you will also keep us going till we may have the full inheritance. See us therefore through the seasons in our lives, Lord, the growing seasons, the maturing seasons, the seasons where there's joy, but also the seasons when there's pain. Guide us. Give us your spirit that we may endure to the end. For it's not by our willpower, but it's by your grace that we endure. Preserve us and make us persevere. For at times, Lord, it can seem too much when everything descends upon us. Lift us up when there are hard days. Use them that we lean on you all the more. For your word tells us that we follow Jesus, who went from sufferings unto glory. And we thank you that now already you give us the first fruits of the Spirit, that first installment of our inheritance. And through the Spirit himself, you build faith in us. You give us the joy of salvation. You give us the strength to resist evil and to do what you bid. And through your Spirit, we're also reminded of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we do not always trust and obey. We fall and we fail. Forgive us in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, your goodness, your grace makes us look ahead, and we want more. For you tell us that we too are a witness, that we are your children, and that we too head from sufferings unto glory. And thank you also for your Holy Spirit, that other counselor. For we read in your word that he also intercedes for us. He who dwells in us and knows us forwards and backwards, in and out, He who wants our sanctification, that we are made holy as he is, he also groans inwardly and intercedes for us. And we thank you that when he does so, he is always in agreement with your will. We often do not know what to pray, but he does. Thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, who prays for us in heaven. Thank you for the other counselor on earth, the Holy Spirit, who works in us. Thank you for those prayers. We need them. Bless us now as we open your word. Grant us its instruction, its warnings, and its comfort. And be enthroned upon our praises. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon we'll make use of the Heidelberg Catechism. You have come to Lord's Day 50 in the Heidelberg Catechism, dealing with that third section about our thankfulness. And the second part of our thankfulness deals with prayer, the chief part of our thankfulness that we owe to God. We come to Lord's Day 50 dealing with our Lord's model prayer. And there we confess the following. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor, and also your gifts, cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, give you the kingdom, sell your possessions, and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thus far. From God's holy word. In response to these readings, let us now sing together Psalm 127, stanzas 1 and 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord in Jesus Christ, At your home, is Sunday a feast day? Does Mom bake cakes with whipped cream? Does she serve an extra delicious warm meal? Well, if so, I can imagine that Sunday is a special day in your home, especially if you're a connoisseur of good food. Well, today, instead of doctrine or a commandment, the subject is food. Food. Living in a land of plenty, we develop a taste for food. Often, some for good food. But too often, I'm afraid, it is for fast food. We can afford to be picky. I mean, boys and girls, if Mom puts nothing else but peanut butter and jam sandwiches in your lunches, are you going to be impressed? Are you asking for a little bit more? And do you want also fruit and veggies and maybe some cake with it as well? Nothing less will do? You see, we can become very choosy in our habits. We don't want this. I don't like that. I won't eat Brussels sprouts. No way. But Jesus takes us back to the basics when we're talking about food. There's no talk about cream cakes, ham and cheese sandwiches, steak dinners, yogurt flavored with various fruits for dessert. It's simply and plainly bread. Nothing on them, just plain bread. Does it mean that you and I are not allowed some sumptuous meals on Sunday? Does it mean that you and I should not expect marble cake, black forest cake, or lemon meringue pies? Does it mean that we should learn to eat what Mom puts on the table and no argument? Should we just tighten our belts and not eat so much? Since Jesus teaches us simplicity, and well, if you don't follow that rule, you're only going to have high cholesterol levels, heart problems, and all the other troubles associated with being overweight. Well, let's just pay attention to this fourth petition, as explained at Lord's Day 50. And I preach to you the word of God under this theme: give us this day our daily bread. We're first of all going to pay attention to the position of this petition, to enjoy our food, and to enjoy food for work. Secondly, we'll pay attention to the points in this petition: give us this day our daily food. And thirdly, the provisions pledged in this petition, our daily necessities. First of all, the position of this petition. You and I think food is for enjoyment. And you know, thankfully, that is what the Lord says as well. I quote the preacher, Ecclesiastes: go eat your bread with enjoyment and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Is that not heartening? We don't need to feel guilty if there's a good meal. Not at all. The Lord provides it. And if He does so through good wives, well, be thankful and enjoy it. The atmosphere at mealtime should be joyous. But now I ask a question. Is food an end in itself? Does Jesus provide breakfast, lunch, and supper just for eating? For the mere pleasure? Is that all there is to it? No. Jesus placed in this petition right after the first three petitions. that we must, yes, seek God's name and glorify it. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And you know, in order to do that, we ask the Lord to give us our daily food. Because we're not angels. We need food and drink. We need strength to carry on. But you could ask the question, why does the Lord position it here right after the first three petitions? Is this one more important than forgive us our sins? Is it more important than lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? And if you put it that way, then you start asking yourself, yeah, why did he put it there? You know, and some people think that when you come to these last three petitions, finally we get our turn. In the first three petitions, it was God's interest, his name, his kingdom, his will. Now finally, give us our daily bread. We get a turn. A lot of people think that way. And the Lord puts this first, so he shows, oh, that's important for us. The Lord will take care of us and give us all that we need. And yes, the Lord is down to earth. He knows we're not angels. He knows we need our food and drink. But if we think that now it's our turn, then we're wrong. Because in our covenant with our gracious God, there's no such thing as, that's for the Lord, this is for me. It's like in a marriage, that a wife is only interested on payday to get that check and forget the husband otherwise. No need for him. That's not a marriage. That's a disaster. Now, in that covenant with the Lord, God's interests, they become our interests. In that covenant, our needs become God's concerns. We do things together. And therefore, we can't think in that way. But the Lord shows that in that covenant, he knows about us. And he says, I know you're flesh and blood, and you need these things. And I want you to seek these things. We're doing this together, and I will provide all that you need. And there's another thing that we need to add to that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a crucial question about our food and drink. In that chapter 8 about Deuteronomy, the Lord rehearses the whole wilderness journey, reminding Israel to keep his commandments and his teachings so that they may live long in the land that the Lord is giving them. And then the Lord explains that he had humbled them, causing them to experience hunger. And you remember, at another time, thirst. One time, no bread. Another time, no water. Another time, no meat. What were they to do? They grumbled and mumbled. But the Lord, he taught them to turn to him, to trust and obey. And then God, the wonder baker, delivered manna on a daily basis. And he says to them, neither you nor your fathers knew this wonder bread. God did this to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I repeat that, for it's an important verse. God did this to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. There's an implication in that. That bread comes through the mouth of the Lord. that the Lord speaks and there will be rains. There will be sunshine. The Lord controls all these things through His word, through His mouth. God gives the commands for that. He controls the elements and the climate. So, bread does not just come naturally, it comes through the Lord. He provides for it. And that means for us that the Lord commands rains. He has given abundant rains also in the wheat belt here in WA. He gives sunshine so that those fields of grain can ripen and be harvested. And as a result, we may have white bread, crusty bread, wholemeal bread, rye bread, and you name it. That's through the mouth of the Lord. But this text teaches us another important lesson. We do not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And all that, well, that includes God's commandments, His prophecies, His teachings, all that Jesus taught us as we could read. You've got to live by it all. If you only accept the bread that comes from the mouth of the Lord and throw all the rest out, you're headed for disaster. And if you live in a society as we do that may try to do that, it's going to end in disaster. Maybe not in 1 year, not in a decade, but over time it will. So the point is that bread is not everything. I point you to our Lord Jesus who taught us this, and He lived it Himself. You remember the desert temptation? He experienced a fast, no food for 40 days. Can you imagine that? Young people who are always hungry, no breakfast, no lunch, no supper, 40 days. I don't think we could last. I don't know how our Lord lasted. But I do know that He went into that wilderness. Why? Because He wanted to focus His mind during that fast on what the Lord wanted Him to do during His ministry. He meditated in his mind on all the scriptures that spoke about Him. He had wanted to know those scriptures when he was 12 years old, when he went to Jerusalem. He needed to know everything that the Lord had said about Him. And when he went into the wilderness, he meditated and he fasted. And God's will was his bread and butter. But along comes the devil and tells him, oh, you must be hungry, man. Oh, you must be starving. 40 days? Look, you're the Son of God. Speak to these stones. Tell them to become bread. You're the Son of God after all, aren't you? And what did Jesus say in reply? Well, he used that text we quoted, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He used that same text that the Lord had used to train, to test and to train Israel. And so the Lord Himself shows us the way that, yes, have your food and drink and enjoy it. Let there be joy at a meal table. But remember, at the same time, you've got to live by everything that comes from the Lord, every word that proceeds from Him. Not just take some things and forget the rest. You cannot just accept the bumper crops, the increase in cattle, a growing family, and so on, but refuse to obey God's commands to help the needy. The rules about, for Israel, for example, the clean and the unclean, the instruction about feasts, and sacrifices and so on. Israel had to live by all these commands. And we have to live by everything that our Lord has taught us. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. In the Old Testament, if one just accepted the bread, but threw all the other words of the Lord away and just discarded them and said, we'll do things our way, we'll serve another God, the gods who make our fields fertile. Well, you know what happened. Think of the days of King Ahab, when Elijah condemned his godless reign. There would be no rain, not even any dew, except by the word of the prophet, by the word of the Lord, which the prophet had to proclaim. And so they learned. You had to learn, live by everything that proceeds from God. Life is an entity. To use a fashionable term today, it's holistic. The Lord looks at the whole approach that we take in life. Will we just take the good and not pay attention to God's commands and teachings? If we do, then we're headed for disaster. But if we trust and obey the Lord, paying heed to all his words, then eat your food with joy. If you want to do things your own way and think that you are going to provide food and drink, get up at 4:30 in the morning and work till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, have no time for family or church, and think this all depends on you, on your ingenuity and strength, well, we sang of it. You'll eat the bread of anxious toil, while God, he'll give you all the things that you need, even while you're sleeping. And for our society, it means that there can be little blessing for an economy, for agriculture, for business, except we serve the Lord. And that may take a reformation, a return to all the words that proceed from the mouth of the Lord. For without the Lord, all our busyness in building houses and building cities, building bridges and all the other things that we do, it's all in vain, says Psalm 127. We need to trust and obey, and then there can be joy. But if we take the approach of the trade unions, who zealously plot without any obedience to what proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, there can be no blessing in the long run. They will only maneuver themselves out of the market in time to come. And big businesses can plot to make huge profits on the backs of the investors and the workers, but it's going to, in the end, boomerang. You must live out of all the words that proceed from God's mouth. Yes, if you do that, then the Lord also says there will be many, many blessings. I think of what the Lord said through Moses. And again, it's from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I quote a few verses from that chapter. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Can you imagine that, Mom? You wouldn't have to buy new shoes for your children for 40 years. They didn't wear out. Amazing. Amazing. The Lord takes care of you. Know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. And again the Lord says, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So when there's obedience, look what the Lord promises. He is gracious and generous. He sends down showers, and yes, today he sends the showers on the unjust as well as the just. And the rays of his sun warm the unholy as well as the holy. But in the long run, it is only those who trust and obey who will have the blessing for eternity. So look to the Father above. He provides. He will give you all that you need. We read from Luke chapter 12 about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And today we can see, you know, the beauty and the jacaranda trees and the Christmas trees. Yes, the banksias, you name it. Beautiful. The Lord takes care of them. You are of much more value than those trees or birds or those flowers. And if God makes his creation beautiful, he will take care of you too. So, it means that in this model prayer, we as prophet must stand up and confess the name of God. As kings, we must fight against evil and do battle for God's kingdom. And as priests, learn to sacrifice our wills and perform our master's will. So we offer our heart, mind, and soul to do God's word. And we want to be as faithful and willing as the angels in heaven. But I say again, angels don't need that food and drink. We do, and God knows it. Then we pray, don't give us too much, or we will start to think we control everything and will become proud and be like Israel, who kicked and did not need the shepherd anymore. But we also pray that God not give us too little, that we become desperate and break the law by stealing. Give us enough so that we are neither rich nor poor, but that we stay rich in God, in you, O Lord, and poor in ourselves. Give the wife what she needs to take care of the family. Give the husband all he needs for his daily tasks. And give the students books and energy to learn. The freezer need not be overly full, nor the closets too huge to hang the clothes. So we ask for what we need to perform our tasks as prophet, priest, and kings. And when we have that food, we will enjoy it. There will be a joyful atmosphere. So that's the position. Now the points in this petition. And the first word is give. Now you can say that word in many different ways. You read a magazine and a picture stares at you. There's a poor orphan. And that waif is a skeleton. Has his hands out begging. Give, please. That's one way of saying give. Someone in need who cries for help. But then I think of another way to say it. And I think of the proverb, the leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. And here the voice demands its rights. We demand better wages. We demand better housing and better health care. It's our right. And since they have no father in heaven, they need to rely on father government or the union to provide all their needs. So you can say this word in many different ways. And people today do demand their rights. They want all the utilities, they want all the things, all the amenities in life. And you know, when our children grow up in this age, if they see that kind of thing, then they tend to be very demanding as well. And I think of that phrase in Scripture, godliness with contentment is of great gain. And that's what we need to work on. Godliness with contentment, which is of great gain. And if we, children, if we are going to demand this and that in our lunches and demand this and that, then we're like the grumbling Israelites who are never satisfied. And our moms and dads will call us grumbling Israelites. So, how would you read this word give? I think of a child, a young child, maybe just going to kindy or to prep, pre-primary, and doesn't worry about the lunch. Mom always packs a good lunch, delicious. And when you get in high grades and you stay in school for the whole day, yes, you need lunches. And Mom always packs a good one. There's no problem. Mom, where did you put my lunch? Yes, they trust. Childlike contentment. And that is what we need. Give to us. Not to me, but to us. This is a plural. And that means I live in a congregation of believers, in a community of believers. And it means I'm not an isolated person also in my neighborhood community and in the community of this world. And I also have that consciousness that there are others. And then when you hear a young child praying after a meal, Lord, there are many who do not have all the good things that we enjoyed at this meal. Provide enough, Lord, that there's enough for all the animals and all the people of this world. Then you say, well said. That's what we need to remember. Give to us. We think of our own church community, and we think even broader than that. You come to that word today. Our tasks, well, they last one day at a time. And you will remember how Israel journeyed one day at a time. And at the end of the day, that column of fire would be in the middle of the tent camp. We have big poles with lights on them, so at night you can find your way down a street. It's not all totally dark. Can you imagine that tent camp? That big light, that pillar of fire illuminating the whole camp? You could find your way around even at night. Amazing. And at day, well, there was the cloud of glory. God was there. And He provides. God is with us. And you don't need to worry. If they got greedy, taking more manna than is necessary for one day, you'll remember it became moldy and wormy. Infested. Terrible. And if they still didn't learn to trust and obey, then on the sixth day when God told them to take double, then they said, oh, the other day I've got moldy and wormy, I'm not going to take double today. They still didn't trust and obey. And on the seventh day, well, they'd be hungry. So you see that distribution of manna was based on the premise, trust, obey. I keep repeating that. And the Lord will give enough every day, and on the sixth day enough for 2 days. And that's a very important lesson, boys and girls. For example, at school, if there's a day that you daydream, you don't pay attention, and you're given some homework to do, but you enjoy the outdoors and you forget all about it, then the next day, when you come back to school, you got that gnawing feeling, and you hope the teacher doesn't ask me the answer to that question. Doesn't ask me to come forward and put the answer on the board. Hope not. Then you worry. You see, because you didn't do your job today, and tomorrow you will worry. But if you do your job today, then tomorrow Yes, you can have a clear conscience. And that's not only for you boys and girls, but for all of us, young and old. But don't borrow trouble for tomorrow. God will take care of you then as well. But take care of today. That's enough. One day at a time. Today. And give our daily bread. Again, it's the plural to underline that we're not on our own as members of God's people. There are more members in God's big family, and there are more people here on earth. And give us this day our daily bread. Now, here there's a problem. First of all, we ask, give us today our bread. And now, give us today our daily bread. Isn't that a repetition? You know, in the Church of Rome, they take this second one as a reference, not to what you call normal bread, but they take it as a reference to the bread at Mass in the Lord's Supper. Because their idea is this, that every day and every moment of the day, somewhere in this whole world, Mass is being celebrated. And people are taking that bread and eating it. And they are eating the very body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So give us this day our daily bread, because this bread is used every day somewhere in this whole big world. That's their theology. Is it correct? I say no. I say it's a theological construction foisted on this term. And it cannot be substantiated. There's nothing in this to substantiate it. Nothing in Jesus' teachings to substantiate it either. The simplest explanation remains daily rations for the marching soldiers in Christ's kingdom. And why a doubling up? Well, teachers will know that. Repetition is education. It reinforces the message. And that's what we need very often. We think ahead, we worry, but Christ reinforces that message. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that suggests a very simple meal. When you come home tonight for a bread meal, you may have a variety of spreads. Ham or cheese, Vegemite or peanut butter, or jam, eggs with a variety of breads, as I mentioned already. We like a varied menu. Does it not make us humble that Jesus says, just plain bread here? I know in some countries they would say, give us this day our daily ration of rice. Let's say in PNG. The students at the Bible college all get a daily ration of rice given to them every day. It's a good lesson. And in some parts of PNG and other parts of Indonesia, they don't use rice or bread, they use sago. Okay, whatever you want to use, whether it's bread or rice or sago or potatoes. Give us this day our staple product of food. Because bread represents all our needs. All our needs, not only for body, but also for soul. If we are sick, then we need a doctor. Tests and medical treatment or medicines. If we work in a trade, we need tools. We need transport. And if you list all the things that you need every day, you will find the list is very long. And you stand amazed how much the Lord provides. In our civilized society, we do need a lot. And God is willing to provide. As long as we remember that we live out of everything that comes from God's mouth. But what exactly are the provisions pledged in this petition? I think of what the Lord said in Genesis chapter 9. There the Lord said after the Noahic flood, and that the Lord would provide. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything." And so that's what the Lord promised, and what's what he provides. All plants and herbs, animals, everything that moves along the ground, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the Lord provides it for us generously. And when there's a drought, the Lord can also give what is necessary. He fed Elijah by the ravens, bringing meat on a daily basis. And the brook Cherith would give the water that he would need. So there is ample instruction that God will provide. You ask, well, what happens when the job suddenly disappears? Well, you might get an unemployment benefit for some weeks. And the government agency may help you find another job. We can be thankful for a government that acts as a real father, caring for those who cannot find it for themselves. That's what the Lord wanted from a government. I think of the case where a leader tried to carve out a name for himself in the rock. God removed him and replaced him with another who, and I quote scripture, would be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. And that's what the Lord wants. However, in spite of that governmental help, there are still many, many needs. We have deacons in the church. And today, thankfully, members do not need to feel stigmatized, ashamed to accept help from the deacons. We may all have a turn, and we should not feel ashamed. Thankfully, they have sufficient funds to take care of the special needs in the congregation. And of course, they come with God's word, because a person has to live according to all the words of God. Allow me a remark. In the past, deacons stingily gave people enough so that they would not starve, but not enough that they could live properly. A widow would be told to sell her house, to give the proceeds to her children, and then live with her children, sharing a bedroom with one of the grandchildren. Yes, that was not the best thing to have taken place. Today, it's a bit different. Today, we find that deacons sometimes go to a place and that members demand things. This whole thing in our society also affects us in the church. And then you hear deacons saying, "What are we going to do? These people are not shy. They don't feel ashamed. They demand this and that. And if we don't give enough, they complain. So how do we go about that?" Yes, there's a different attitude sometimes. And we need to take a look at what the Lord tells us then. And so we also today have to be careful in that there is godliness with contentment and thankfulness that the Lord does take care of his people. The Lord will give us all that we need. We don't always need luxury. We don't always need, let's say, four cars. One just for pleasure, one for work, one for holidays, one for the wife. We don't always need all those kind of things. But the Lord will provide our necessities. And we have to make sure and that we follow that rule, that there's godliness with contentment. And then we will not go wrong. And in the end, We will thank God for all that He provides, all the daily necessities. We will pray and we will work. Yes, pray and work, and then the Lord will give us what we need so His name may be honored and glorified. Trust and obey. Amen. Let us sing in response from Psalm 34, stanzas 3 and 4. Let us give God thanks. Our Father in the heavens, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide us with all our bodily needs so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You now have the opportunity to give your thank offering unto the Lord for mission work in Papua New Guinea. And afterwards, we will stand, if we can, and sing our closing song, Hymn 61, stanzas 1 and 2. Lift up your hearts to the Lord, receive his blessing, and go in peace. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and is gracious unto you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. Amen.